Mike, you're getting into it. Just a minute, if you wouldn't mind telling us, are you married? Yeah. We have a family. Tell us
yes,
about yourself.
Yes, I'm married. I've married my wife, Annie. We've been married for about 15-some years. We have four kids, 11 to 6. We live in Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that sufficient?
Good. 11 to 6.
Boys, 11 girls. To 6. Three boys and a little girl. Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right, great. Thanks for your life history.
That's it. Yeah, it's great.
All right, and it's because we have limited time.
Sure.
That we're jumping through some of this fast, but give me then a summary, brief summary of the whole history of your ministry, life and ministry,
right,
up to the present.
Right. So I grew up on church plants every couple of years. I think my father did about 18 church plants in his career, 18 or 19. And so when I went off to college in Omaha to wrestle at UNO, I was just assuming I was going to be in a church planting, church world was my expectation, my hope. So after I got married to Annie, the pastors approached me and asked me to go on staff at the church to be our college director of our college group. At this time, our college group had about 120 kids and the church had about 100. And I thought, that sounds great. I'll do that. And so they said, what do you make? And I said, I make $45,000 as an ops manager at a trucking company. And they said, you're hired. You have to raise your salary. And I said, oh, you don't have a job. That's great. And so I kept working at that trucking company. And then a few years later, they came back and said, we can pay you $42,000. I was like, that's wonderful. I'm making 80s and I'll quit now and do this church world full time. My dad was a pastor, so I prepared to be poor, assumed they would come back in the future. And then that was about 10 years ago in April. And so that happened. And then shortly after that, there's a church that's going through its a tough time in its life. I think the third time in its life, they're having a lot of people leaving down in Lincoln with Jim Weibelhaus and Ben Lenander at Harvest Community Church. And so I was voluntold, I'm going to Lincoln. And there was about 20-ish singles and college kids that were sent out with me to help revitalize a church who has a history of 38 years or so, 39 years, I think. The church started in 1984. I was born in 1984. They have a long, great history of missions and a heart for God. And so I've been at that church for my entire career, 10 years. I don't plan on going anywhere but that church. I plan on riding it out into the sunset with that church, if that makes sense.
Cool.
But we've got a sweet opportunity to get into a building, and we were able to renovate it, and we don't own it yet, but we owe $400K on it, and it's been cool. God has done the last number of years. We're up to, I think, about 300 or 350 people attending our church, and we have more people attending small groups than Sunday morning. So that's what I'm excited about. But the weird part about it is I think there's probably a dozen people in the church that know me when I first gave my first sermon, which was at that church. So a lot of it's newer people, new singles, new college, new couples. Probably most people have been around the last 5 years, if that makes sense. So
okay. Wow.
And I've been there for 10 years.
Okay. And you have a few fellow elders?
Yes. Shane and I, we wrestled in college together up at UNO. Ben Lenander, I think some of you might know the Lenander name. Ben is the man. He's preaching this morning on John 16, somewhere in John 16. And then we merged up with Dan Koch about a year and a half ago. COVID was hard on his church. He had about 20 people, and they joined us with his 20 people about a year and a half ago. So Dan is the man. He's from Lawrence, Kansas, played football. You can Google him, Daniel Koch, Lawrence, Kansas. He's a very fit man. Those football players, they're a little different.
So Mike was a wrestler.
Yes.
Now another pastor is a football player.
Yeah.
And the other two NBA pastors.
Ben wrestled in college. So Ben wrestled in Iowa. So it's like he's...
Wow, you guys.
He's like, there's a high bar for athleticism. I'm just joking around. I'm sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. So, you have the church planting background.
Right.
It's unique for you to be in one place for 10 years now. But we want to hone in then on the specifics of how you experienced that transition that we all did with 2020, Great Commission dissolves, and seeking out partnership. So can you explain the nature of your partnership now with Baptists in your city and what that involves?
Absolutely. And so our goal is, our hope is to be a mid-sized church that's multiplying, that's sending out church plants. And so I visited Derek and Shannon on the way down here from Highlands, Kansas. They're a church plant we sent out about a year ago. We sent another church plant out to Hickman, Nebraska, which is about 45 minutes away from our building in a growing suburb of Lincoln. And so Derek's got about 40-some people on his core team, he thinks, that are doing well. And the church in Hickman, they're launching in August, but we're co-planting another church that okay. they should have about 35, 45 people to start too. So we're trying to, my goal is to be able to plant a lot of churches if I stay with that heart to yeah. want to send and be generous with the people of God. And church plants the missionaries. And so we sent out a missionary couple to Alaska, Brock and Megan, to Anchorage, Alaska. And so that's been a fun last 2 years. But our hope is to just keep handing off generously some of our best people that have come through our mm-hmm. our church to where they answer God's call in their life and follow him into full-time ministry of new yeah. churches and new missionaries. Yeah. So that's our hope and that's our heart, you know, to seek and save the lost, like Blaine was sharing this morning, excellently this morning. So because that's our motivation for a church, it's not your seeding power, it's your sending power, to quote J.D. Greer. We look for partnerships. And so, like all of y'all, we've been researching what to do now with the future. And so it's just because someone has a nice website somewhere, it really matters what's in your local context is what it boiled down to. And so I looked into Acts 29, Christian Missionary Alliance, Converge Network up in Nebraska area, and then the Great Commission Baptist, which is what they're rebranding Southern Baptist to be, because Southern doesn't make any sense where we all live. And so Great Commission Baptist. And so I researched and looked into it, secret shopped their denominational meetings and asked a bunch of questions as we reevaluated what team to be with. And so I think the last pastor conference that they had, John Hoppler encouraged pastors, it's not a good time to be alone. And if you look at John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus' heart is that we would be united, united around his heart of seeking and saving the lost and keeping the main thing, which is church plants and missionaries. And so that's why we ended up landing on the team we're on now, if that makes sense.
So what does that look like in your right. city with other Baptist churches right. or pastors or what?
Absolutely. My dad's in Oklahoma, and his world is wildly different. There's like 1,200 Southern Baptist churches in Oklahoma. We share states, Nebraska and Kansas, and because we're the unreached, unengaged people groups of the North, I'm having fun. Because, you know, Christianity is not as strong up north as it is here, there's 480 churches between our two states. 100 of those churches are in Nebraska, and the rest are here in Kansas, if that makes sense. And so it just boils down to your local context. We have a region right now of Omaha and Lincoln, and there's about 60, 70 churches in Omaha and Lincoln. And so I don't know how many Southern Baptist churches are in your region. I would assume you would divide up the Kansas City area pretty aggressively to get it intimate. But that's about, you know, 60, 70 some churches. That is in our regional context, if that makes uh-huh. sense. You can partner at the state. You can partner internationally. You can partner regionally. You know, you can do however you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's the jungle. You yeah. can. There's plenty of things to get yeah. do. But.
So as your pastor, really, bulk of our time, I think in a healthy situation, really is on our local church, period. Yeah. But then you have this partnership locally, maybe nationally. Functionally, how does that play out? Time distribution,
yeah.
what do you do together?
So there's a joke, which is true. No one can tell, you know, no one can tell a Southern Baptist church what to do. You get what I'm saying? The denomination has no yeah. control of them. And the joke, I would say, is not even that own church. the churches are totally autonomous. There's no smoke-filled rooms of people deciding what we do or don't do at Sower Church, right, Pastor? It's our elder team. It's our local church's decision about what we do. All of our denominational leaders that I've met with in the Nebraska, they say, we're here to serve you, we're here to support you, we're here to make you successful, we're here to get behind what you're doing, we're here to pour gasoline on the flames of what you're doing in ministry, because the denomination doesn't plant churches, churches plant churches, and they want to funnel money and man hours through local churches that are planting new churches. And when I say planting new churches, if you think of, like, I'm going to drop numbers on you, but Acts 29 has 400 to 580 churches nationally. I think Redeemer City to City Network of Tim Keller has 400 and some churches. I think John Piper has 350 some churches. The Southern Baptist, the last 10 years, have planted, I think it's 9,000 churches the last 10 years. So it's like in 1 year, they plant more than all those. And so okay. their money and man hours, woman hours, is what matters, if that makes sense. A lot of talk mm-hmm. happens with pastors when they get together. A lot is said. But at the end of the day, who's sending people and spending resources to get them there? And, you know, they're the 800-pound gorilla in Christianity as far as seeking and saving the lost, of reaching new people groups in cities.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So, and again,
sorry.
I'm trying to
sorry.
Hone in on, no, that's a lot of.
I'm not a salesman, but I think I missed my original calling of pitching stuff. I'm sorry, John.
So, Mike, do you ever talk? Now, do they just basically, you sign something, they start sending you money and people? Or do
I don't remember ever signing anything, to be honest. My process was I called the local Heartland Church Network thing and I said, hey, I just heard that our current denomination, Great Commission Association of Churches, is disbanding. I was curious if I can grab lunch with one of your people or coffee and ask some questions about who you are. And I did that to 6 different groups, okay, if that makes sense. And some never called me back, some did. We had coffee or breakfast, and I'd ask them a lot of questions and ask them how they're organized and structured. And just listening to some of those men communicate, I decided that's not our team, that's not our people. But anyways, when I, you know, then we had lunch, we talked. And so I don't remember signing anything. I do remember them kind of like having 2 different gentlemen ask me nicely a few times, like a few theological distinctions, if I would ever, like, you know, do or not do certain things, and I said no, I would not do that. Does that make sense? So they asked me if I'd ever, I don't know. Do you want me to get into those
you
details?
Mean cultural
if I'd ever like issues? Raise up female pastors, if I would ever, you know, what were some other things? But they just nicely asked me the same question a few different ways.
And what kind of marriages would you perform?
Yeah, what kind of marriages I would perform, all that stuff. So and I nicely answered the same question over and over again, different ways, but. I don't know if I signed anything. I might have, but I don't remember signing anything. But it's purely partnering if you want to partner or not, if that
and
makes sense.
So you focused on the resources on the high level, and that relates to planting.
Right.
When it comes to the regular life of your church, are you attending meetings in the city? Right. Are you how are you working with other pastors outside your own church?
So they pulled us up with other pastors in these small pods, I guess, cohorts is what they're called, and there's 5 men that are in a cohort with myself the last 2 years, and we huddle periodically and discuss books and sharpening each other with what God's teaching us, how we're doing, what's working, what's not working, and so they put me with 5 different men, and so that's been encouraging the last 2.5 years, and I asked them all my rookie pastor questions, and they have, you know, 25 to 30 some years of pastoral experience, some of those guys, and you know, and I'm, for some reason, with that group of men that are,
that's nice.
You know, but it's been good. That's been a huge blessing to learn from others, if that makes sense. You know, I can still call old friends in Great Commission, of course, but it's different when you call a guy who's 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, and he's like, yes, take him to Bryant East Medical Center. If they're having some mental health challenge, ask for Dr. So-and-so, and then get them into X counseling program. You're like, that's local intel in the city we're in, as we minister to people in the city. Mm-hmm. So that's been very valuable, just the coaching and mentorship. So I know y'all are way stronger down here in Kansas City than we are up there, if that makes sense. But there's quarterly gatherings that they have up there. I don't know how what you have down here, but I'm sure you have at least quarterly gatherings for mainly encouraging and supporting the pastors. There are plenty of ministry opportunity stuff that you can opt in or opt out of conferences and teen conferences and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Baptist Partner, 7 Ways a Sunday. And it's all purely opt in or opt out on mission trips and you get what I'm saying? And that's the pastors would hear about that and they would explore that if they want to do it or not.
Okay. So does anyone in your Sower Church know you have a partnership with Baptists or is it?
Every month I do a new membership class and I'm supposed to be, it's a membership class, but I'm supposed to say it's a Discover class. We discover who we are and who we're not and where we're going. And every month I explain, we're an Acts 20, we're a 9 Marks church. We're in the Gospel Coalition. We're a member of the SEND Network, North American Mission Board, International Mission Board, Great Commission. I roll through all of our partners, if that makes sense. And so I explain, you know, it's for training and it's for goods and resources for church planting and missionaries.
Okay.
Christians like deals. You know, and we want to, why spend extra money when we don't have to?
So,
I get in trouble for talking too candidly, Johnny. So I don't see a live stream camera anywhere, so I'll be careful.
Could go a couple different directions, but let me, I'm curious, are there any ways in which your partnership with Baptists has been similar to what you experienced with the Great Commission for years?
Yeah, I think the whole thing we're rallying around new church plants, training and equipping and releasing people to do new ministry, new church plants. I think that is a huge heart that I didn't see in other partnerships when I interviewed my local context and those different organizations. And that's where the money is, that's where the training is, because that's what they want to be known for, new church plants, which seem to be the heart of Great Commission. I was only in Great Commission the last 7 years of its existence, if that makes sense, but, I mean, I grew up hearing about it and watching it from my
Your parents
dads.
Were in it,
yes.
Weren't they?
My dad was around it a lot, and that same heart for, I think dad's had that quote, it all boils down to money and man hours. who's spending the money and who's sending the people? And I just found it overwhelming that they spend $500 million a year on church plants and missionaries every year, which is a staggering number. If you if you nerd out on church stats, it's pretty impressive what they send and what they spend to get the gospel to unreach, unengaged people groups.
Okay, so it's locally. A common,
yeah,
highest that's values
why,
basically.
That's why they partner. Yep. They don't partner for conferences. They partner for planting and sending and supporting more missionaries.
Okay.
5,000 globally or something. You know, I think there's no one even close to that as other mission agencies around the globe. And again, they're the largest church planting network in North America.
Okay. So, on the contrast, in what ways has your experience now partnering with them been different from what you experienced growing up in
sure.
the last years before?
Well, I think there's 60-some, 70-ish churches that are in our local region. I think about like 7 or 8 of us have a plurality of elders. Most have one lead guy. Just because logistics, it's hard to have it takes humble guys to be willing to play it for, 3, 4, 5 other pastors. You take a certain kind of pastor, certain kind of leader, which is unique to GCC. And so I think there's like 6 or 7 or maybe 8 churches that have a plurality like
gotcha.
We do in our, but it's not like, I'm kind of gotcha. A unicorn of that subsorts, but I don't care. Does that make sense? I can still learn from guys who have staff that work for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They still love the Lord and want to see
mm-hmm.
the lost, seek and save the lost. And so,
but that's different, yeah.
That's one of the, but I don't care. Does that mean, it doesn't change my opinion
sure.
on who I can partner with. Does that
uh-huh.
make sense? So
yeah.
That's one thing. What else? That's all I can think of. But otherwise, it's a big jungle, if that makes sense. And so there's all kinds of churches there. And so honestly, it feels a lot like Great Commission. You have your program-driven churches, you have your house church network churches, you have your large churches, big personality churches, your production churches, your band churches. You have all these different kind of churches. It's just like we had in Great Commission Association churches
yep.
nationally. And so it's just in your city. So
I see.
They're not 100 miles away. They're 15 miles away, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
has it been easy to work with pastors and churches that don't have any of that same culture background that we'd have in
sure.
Great Commission? Yeah, what's that experience been
sure.
like?
How's it been to work with? It's been good. We've done just because of proximity and a heart for our region.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, we love you, God bless you, but we're a long ways away. So have fun planting that church in Highlands or in Hickman. We've co-planted with 2 other churches, and neither of them were Southern Baptist at the beginning of the journey. But as we went through the process, they're like, it's kind of like Elon Musk makes Tesla cars, and I'm not going to compete with Tesla, And yeah, Elon might send some crazy tweets that night, But at the end of the day, that's a Tesla, and so this is what they do: they plant churches. And so, Country Bible Church and us co-planted down in Hickman, and then Northridge Church with Charlie Robinson, based out of Sabetha, he co-planted with us to Highlands, and they both became Southern Baptist churches in the process. But it's been very nice to be able to do work with other people, if that makes sense. Because if
mm-hmm.
we plant a guy out of our church, out of our city, about 1% to 2% of our people will go. If we plant across town, it's 20% to 30% of your people will go. And if you can co-plant with other churches that have the same theology, the same basic ministry expectations of what is a church, what is this church going to look like, it helps you walk through some of those conversations so that we can make a baby together with another congregation. Does that make sense? And it looks like us, talks like us, sounds like us. And it's that unifying heart of the world will know we're Christ's disciples for our love for one another.
Yeah.
Our unity is powerful. And so
mm-hmm.
we can get
mm-hmm.
more done together than
mm-hmm.
all by ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because of proximity. God bless you guys, but we're 3 hours away. I think we drove by.
Right. It'll be harder to.
It'd be hard to do something with y'all because we're 3 hours away. It's just a logistical thing of seeing more new churches started.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Has it been easy or hard to find other churches in Lincoln that are like-minded enough that you feel comfortable partnering on that deep level?
I mean, I think it's been easy because we have a shared the Baptist faith and message is a shared statement of faith, which is you guys would subscribe to in a heartbeat, if that makes sense. That's been easy. There's just logistics of how does this church going to look? How's this church going to do membership, small groups? What's this
yep.
church going to look like? That's a conversation the two churches have in their dating period as they decide if they're going to
okay.
co-plant together. But it's been actually, since we became a Southern Baptist church, we've done 2 church plants and sent out a missionary couple. So I don't think any of those would have happened if we weren't in this world. That's what they do.
Gotcha.
Proactively help you understand who you are and what you want to work with, if that makes sense.
All right. All right. I'll ask maybe just one more question and say, if you have one, think of that for another minute. And I mean, I can keep going, but I want to give other people a chance in case they have another angle. But so after your experience now, how long has it been that you've been partnering with Baptist?
I think about 2 years.
2 years.
I think.
So you've had enough time.
Right.
You've mentioned a lot of the highlights. Have there been any burdens or difficulties related
everyone
to
has dirt. Does that make sense? Every church, every Christian, every church network, denomination, they all got dirt. You just got nowhere to look, if that makes sense. And so I think, you know, I know like 175 years ago, they had a lot of dirt. Does that make sense as a denomination? But I think if you look at statistically, they've planted more Black, Hispanic, and Asian-led churches reaching those demographics. I think it's like 11,000 churches out of their 54,000 churches are led by non-white pastors reaching non-white parts of our cities, which is basically an under-church saturated market all over America. As we reach lostness, you know, the white demographic is not fully saturated, but it's doing well. The Hispanic and Black and Asian demographics around the world, around America are getting, I think that's very strategic what they're doing, investing in young men that are going to reach and build a church of their network, if that makes sense. But I mean, everyone's got dirt. And so if it's like, if I say this every month at our membership class, like, you know, if only perfect Christians can partner with us, then I can't be a member of this church. I can't pastor this church. You know, we don't just partner with perfect Christians because, you know, Great Commission Association of Churches has our own background, if that makes sense. And so I love that the mission, the why is compelling, that people might seek and, you know, be seeking save the lost. That heart is there. Not just on a website. It's genuinely there, and they're nickels and noses, if that makes sense.
Okay. Are there any questions? Yes, yes. Okay. So, Clifton, go ahead with yours first.
Well, it's very good, great segue to your last question, what you said. So, the difference between having dirt in your past and dirt on you now?
Yeah.
My concern about what I see in the public arena, again, I acknowledge that there's denominations have, my first church, I was saved in, were ABC technically, but they were not following ABC practices.
Right.
It was just like the whole building thing, all that business, but they were not doing what ABC did theologically at that time. So I get that. My question is, I'm concerned about what I'm seeing in the public arena coming from SDC high profile pastors right now.
Oh, yeah.
Certain things. So
absolutely.
How do you, it's one thing having your past. I did do that. Like you mentioned, the SBC, they had slavery issues.
Yeah.
They also had
that's how they formed
support issue. In the
So
they're trying to rectify, but then there's also high leadership for fighting back repentance. Like they're fighting against repentance.
Right.
So how do you navigate with that by taking on the name SBC and having all the kind of high, there's stuff with the Q happening.
Right.
You mentioned, you know, pastor thing.
Right.
There's other things about abortions, all kinds of things.
54,000 churches has a lot of interesting baggage. Yes. And so I would not recommend, if God leads your pastoral team to do this, to put Baptist in your name. Does that make sense? The Nebraska-Kansas Convention of Southern Baptists is rebranding themselves to the Church Forward Network. The Southern Baptist denomination is rebranding themselves to Great Commission Baptist. It's, you know, knowledge makes wisdom, you know, you're wise about how you present and package yourself. And so, yeah, there's tons of scandals out there. Does that make sense? 54,000. And your enemies aren't just some random blog of people that don't like Great Commission people. It's people on CNN, you know, are interviewing and calling out stuff that's happening, hypocrisy in the church. Absolutely. But it seems to be one of the last holdouts in the Christian public arena that's got some weight behind it on same-sex marriage and on, you know, male-only pastors. It seems like all other major denominations have kind of capitulated to those cultural pressures. And so do I expect Southern Baptists to be alive and thriving the rest of my life? I don't know. I think our country's getting harder and harder. But do I expect us to do some good between now and when they disband or we leave them? Like I tell our members, new members every month, don't go get a Southern Baptist tattoo. We have dozens of logos on our website for people we're working with, partners we're exploring. And so it's not like a lifelong commitment. This is a let's wait and see what happens. And so if there's some trigger things that would make us jump ship. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically your operating principle is do what you can with what you have until it becomes basically breaking your conscience or sin.
Exactly.
If they start saying, what I'm concerned is I saw the high-profile former vice president of the N, the National Mission Board, NND,
right.
is now basically gay affirming his church.
No, no, I know.
In Florida, you
know, no, it's terrible.
And he's not just like a nobody. He's higher up than nobody.
Right.
So it's, I don't know if they're even addressing him.
No, so like with Great Commission Association of Churches, there's some interesting things happening also. They were just, nobody knew. Does that make sense? And different, and so it's like little network, little resources, little enemies. You get, because no one making any waves, but this is the largest, I think Catholics, this is the second largest denomination in North America. It's massive. It's like I shop at Walmart for the deals. And if I get an email from someone saying, look who else shops at Walmart, I'm like, okay. I don't care about, I'm there for the deals.
Yeah. Dale, what was your question?
Straight up.
You're going with the what can you do with what you have?
Exactly.
Because that illustration
yeah.
is kind of pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, clear, Walmart.
Right. It's Walmart. I'm there
and
for deals.
You look at it as a store, a kind of thing, resource access
right.
point, and not trying to get everyone to do the right thing.
Right. I don't have, they give an account to God. They're completely autonomous churches. And I'm the denomination, like I think J.D. Greer was doing some cutting churches off the rosters in certain South churches that are gay affirming. I'm told things are happening right now with California. They're going to drop 90 of their 110 churches in California because of Rick Warren's comments at the last thing. It's a circus at times, but I tell our members, listen, someone's going to replant these churches in our city. Someone's going to plant these new churches in small town Nebraska, and someone's going to pay for it. It's either us or this denomination that's going broke for, you know, seeking and saving the lost. And so our pain threshold is high because we're called to seek and save the lost, and that's messy. And so we're not a cool, trendy, popular church, if that makes sense, you know, and so we expect there to be blowback. And that's a good question.
That's
a good question. Yeah.
So my question to you, Mike, is Rick your dad?
Yeah, Rick is my father. Yes. Yes. Dad's in a Southern Baptist church too.
Fond memories of your dad teaching at Faith Walkers up there, and just we felt like we got to know Rick, and so if you see him, why don't you give us all a hug?
I saw him last week, actually. He's doing good. Jeff and him, during COVID, they shut down their church and they joined up with Eagle Heights Church in Oklahoma. And so.
And we praise God that God has raised you up over
Amen.
The years.
Amen. Yeah.
Tim.
Just a quick question. Financially, do you guys give them money?
It's purely up to you how much you want to give, if that makes sense. And so I'm trying to become a 25% giving church in my career, is my hope, because I think it's just amazing what they can do and what you can do with your resources of generosity. If I had a ability to show you what I give and what we get, we went from 0% giving to 8% giving as a church. And so 8% of our just optional giving to the IMB, International Mission Board, to the disaster relief stuff, which they offer, to the local church planning efforts we do. So we're purely voluntary and giving our own funds because we straight up see what they're giving us. You can't outgive the Southern Baptist. You know, they got deeper pockets than we do. So our goal is to grow to 10% next year, and then we're going to keep pushing that up to the 25% range of church plants and missionaries. So I think the lowest amount of money you need to give to be a member is like $50. It's terribly low, if that makes sense.
We need a volunteer. Getting
sure. But it's not an easy button. You get what I'm saying? It's not going to make life and church and Jesus and being a disciple here easy. The cost of discipleship is incredibly high. And so,
right.
I just, yeah.
Boing.
So, does your church directly support any international missionaries?
I was interviewing with a missionary couple yesterday for 2 hours that is preparing to go. And so, we will probably fund them directly and then indirectly. So, the International Mission Board, like he's got his doctorate in mission stuff through Gateway, and she's finishing up her degree, and she knows Chinese. She's about to be a doctor. And so when they finish up the next year or so, they'll be fully funded after they get assessed by the International Mission Board, but we'd still support them. But their goal is to send 100 missionaries every year,
so
if that makes sense.
Them, the directly?
Like we would support them directly, but I'm assuming IMB, with the amount of money we're giving them, will support them directly. Does that make sense? When they should assess fine. They, you know, the language and the specialized occupation and his degree from Gateway Seminary. So they should be fully funded through the IMB. Their goal is that they'd send 100 missionaries from Southern Baptist churches around the globe. Their goal is about 100. They want to raise, I think they're about 4,000 some right now. But I currently don't have a roster of people we're supporting other than Brock and Megan. We support them monthly. They're sent out from our church to Alaska, to Anchorage. So we're continuing to support them. They get some funding from the North American Mission Board, and then some from us as a church. You don't have to fire anyone. You know what I'm saying? Of course not. You've been with them for years. So.
No, I'm just concerned because we support several missionaries directly. We'd like to continue doing that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're sending 10 people to Thailand, I think, in May. And they're going to like 5 IMB church plant areas in the Thai area. And so we're hoping to send John Tesley maybe long term.
Oh, cool.
He's praying about it in the next couple of years. So.
When you mention that you can't outgive the Baptists, can you list some of these things they're giving you?
Sure.
Real quick.
If you're willing to do outreach, that's what they spend their money on, if that makes sense. And so we have Christian Challenge, which is our college ministry. They support us as the UNL's Christian Challenge. All block parties, all outreach events we've done, they help pay for those receipts. I think we're getting like 100 new ESV Bibles that are hardcover, and we're hoping to submit that to Lifeway and let them pay for that too. But they have I'm forgetting the number right now, $300,000 or $250,000 set aside. David Manor, that manages both our states for pure outreach events, reimbursements for that. If you want to do a church planting resident or have a pastoral resident who's getting trained to be a pastor planter, they compensate you as a local church. They'll like match your giving. I think it's like $1,000 a month. If you would give $1,000, they'll give $1,000 to double the starting salary for a guy to get him going in ministry. So if you outreach, if missionaries, church plants, that's what they spend their money on. You get what I'm saying? And so, yes.
Okay.
I can show you a spreadsheet if you want to throw it up there. What percentage we give and what we get, it's going well. But if you don't want to outreach, then they don't have money for you.
Okay, gotcha.
Just to be honest.
Any other questions? Cheryl.
I appreciate the practicality that you stated. My question is more in individual practice of churches. You said that you've gone together with some of the true Southern Baptist churches to plant other churches.
Right.
So my background with Southern Baptist is that practically in their body, it's not like, I mean, in Great Commission, I've always thought that reaching out to people was an individual practice, like friendship evangelism, so to speak.
Right.
But in the Baptist church, it's you invite people to that church, pastor is the one that gives the message of salvation and with an altar call.
Right.
So how do you link the two together?
I think we've been very influenced by that 9 Marks church, and one of the marks of a healthy church is evangelism, and it's not my job to convert the city. It's our job to convert the city. And so we've been doing evangelistic classes, I think a spiritual multiplication class it's a 10-week course at our church, and several other churches in Lincoln have been utilizing that. Sorry. I talk for a living. I'm sorry. Anyways, and so whatever. I'm fine. Whatever you guys want to do. And so the healthy churches are doing evangelism well. They're doing one-on-one, your oikos outreach. And there's obviously unhealthy churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm amazed at how much they give and how much they just give and don't ask questions, but their giving helps mobilize our campus workers. I think we have 9 kids on staff at UNL doing college ministry, and we're mobilizing our lay leaders. I mean, we're having a spiritual evangelism course every spring to help train our members about how to do what we always grew up doing, relational evangelism, because end of the day, I need to chase strays and demonstrate Jesus' heart of seeing the Lazarus in my network and my neighborhood, and I need to go seek and save the lost like Jesus did. You know, the heart of Jesus with the lost is that he went after the coin, the sheep, and the son, and we need to model that same heart of God, and our church has to be deployed to be outreaching. And so obviously there's unhealthy Southern Baptist churches that no one's outreaching, not even the pastor, and they just, you know, that's a reality of Christianity, you know, but the ones that are planting have a correct view on evangelism, it seems, you know,
So it hasn't been a cultural clash?
No.
Okay.
Just churches don't outreach. So anyone that outreaches, yes.
Matthew, do you have a question?
Oh, I have a question. When you said those numbers, especially about churches being famous in the Grass Belt, what are you including? Are you including
what was that last part of the question? What am I including?
What types of
churches? What denominations are you including when you talk about how many churches there are in the Grass Belt?
Kansas, oh, that was
right.
Southern Baptist.
Right. No, that's just Southern Baptist, Great Commission Baptist
okay.
churches. 480 total, about 100 are in Nebraska, and the rest are here
okay.
in your state.
Matthew, you have a question? No? Okay. All right.
I'm not paid or sponsored by the Southern Baptist. I came here because I like Johnny. That makes sense. So they don't know I'm here, I don't think. So.
They'll find out.
They don't. They got so much to deal with. They don't care what we're up to.
Another Cheryl? Question. If in your denomination you said, we want to raise up this man to be another pastor in our church, would the Southern Baptists say they need to go through our seminary?
No, nothing. We've raised up multiple pastors, Sam and Derek and we're about to do two more guys, and they've not signed anything. They've not stood on the stage. If we invited them to, they would show up and stand there if we wanted them to be there, but they would not assume to be there. Does that make sense? Local churches ordain pastors, just like in GCC. Does that make sense? Denominations don't ordain pastors, and so that's a local church's congregational license and ordination of a pastor. So I'm sure churches do that unhealthy. But we're trying to model that Nine Marks Building Healthy Church series about the local church affirming and confirming God's call in that man's life. Does that make sense?
So just to be over, maybe it's over the obvious, is that basically this partnership is a resource funnel.
That's what we view it as.
To do what God Jesus said.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we view it as. Yeah. And if you find friendships along the way that have the same heart and mind, double down on that, pastors. But as far as the congregation goes, nothing changes, if that makes sense, unless you want things to change as a church and be as integrated as you want to be. But
yeah. All right, I think that about wraps it up. I guess one more question. If you decided you wanted to disassociate in the future, how hard would that be?
I mean, it was really easy to get in, and it's incredibly easy to get out.
Okay.
No one owns our building. You get what I'm saying? We own our building.
Oh, okay.
And so
yep.
we bought it for the Methodist. And then we became Baptist. Don't tell them. Anyway, so yeah, they have no oversight over buildings and pastors. They don't own some denominations own the man or the building.
Right, right.
They don't own men. They don't own buildings. They don't move people around. You're completely independent free agent church doing what you want, which is good until people do weird stuff. And that's like, ah.
There is some, and I'd be curious, not completely now, but is the Baptist, okay, awesome. So is the Baptist faith and message the standard that they go through doctrinally?
Yeah.
To where you're like, if you pray, if you cross this,
right.
this declaration, you're going
Absolutely.
To
out. Absolutely.
Not going to support you. Well,
Correct.
We're not going to support and give you frontage and help you.
Correct.
But that's
yeah.
their standard.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a huge document, too. It's long.
Yeah. All right. Is there a final question before we wrap it up? Give ourselves time to...
I mean, we viewed it as like a celebratory, let's go and see what God will do. But I
okay.
do realize that there's like a loss and a grieving part of this conversation. You know, this has been a enjoyable process on our end to getting support for us pastors and stuff that we thought was helpful for our church. It made sense on our end, but you're early in the process of discovering what it looks like. But, you know, my mom said, I've been Baptist my whole life. I just didn't realize it. And is what she jokingly says, being at that Oklahoma church, that's a Southern Baptist church. They just love their church. They love their people. They love how much they love. You know, new churches and missionary efforts, which is a big part of our heritage. But I'll stop talking.
All right, so next week we'll schedule Rick Whitney to come do an interview.
He might come. He has nothing else to do.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I think that should do it. Appreciate you coming.